Today, on a baffling holiday knockoff of the morning stream.
Jury and the fitness geek take over the show.
Yin's been talking about that NYT dialect quiz, huh?
The AK-47 inventor finally runs out of ammo.
Charlie Sheen goes after the Duck Dynasty guy.
An American gladiator is heartbroken.
That's going to be meaner than you think it is in a second. Tom talks about anything but tech.
Brian, but not the Brian you're thinking of, holiday cheer, and more on this Christmas miracle edition of the morning stream.
The truth. Your principal can't smile, can't swim, can't rap, and
can't stand bubble tape.
Your school bus driver can't drive, wears curlers, makes funny noises, won't try bubble tape.
No way, Jose!
Bubble tape! It's 6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them.
Welcome to Nerd Prom.
Hey, Birdum. This is the morning stream. Bye-bye.
And the voices you will hear now are not Scott and Brian.
That's going to be
a little bit of Andrew Allen, and we'll be playing a lot of that throughout the show. Instead, it is me, Justin Robert Young.
And me, Bill Duran.
Look at that. What we are doing right now, and this is the best metaphor I could come up for it, Bill. A lot of times, and we are doing this show because Scott and Brian have obligations and families. They have kids and wives. Between the two of us, we have two girlfriends, two birds, and two cats, all of which are probably still asleep.
I do think my wife is actually watching live.
Oh, you have wife. We have one wife, one girlfriend, two birds, two cats. That would have been better.
I guess so.
So this is basically us as fans of the morning stream. Obviously, we are both normally on the Tuesday edition. This is the Tuesday edition of the show. This is us kind of just running downstairs on Christmas Day and making mom and dad breakfast, you know?
Which will probably turn into a total disaster like it normally would, but we're going to do it
anyway. And
probably
give one of them food poisoning.
Yes. Well, so by the way, when I was reading the doc last night and I read that American Gladiator line out loud, my first reaction was, oh, Jesus, Justin, come on.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
Well, and listen, don't worry. All will be revealed. All will be revealed about Nitro, the American Gladiator. Here's something that I want to start off with. And this, I thought, would be a very Scott Johnson way to begin the show. As again, sure, we are just kind of doing our sickly sad impressions. That bubble tape commercial from the beginning, I was going through all these old 90s commercial compilations to find something to do on the show. And there was just this whole big compilation where they had, it was all promos from, I guess, some Santa Clara television station. And a lot of them were cartoon promos. And I want to play for you this promo for the Super Mario Brothers cartoon show, which I think was hosted by Captain Lou Albano, if I'm not mistaken.
Professional wrestler.
Professional wrestler, Captain Lou Albano. And just do me a favor, and I want for you to rate on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being, I so don't give an F word. And 10 being the most professional broadcaster ever. At how much the person in this intro cares. Okay, I want you to rate this effort, Bill.
Okay, lay it on me.
Here we go.
A super show. It's awesome.
Super Mario, tomorrow at 7.
Now, hold on. I'm going to play it for you again. And again, this is, I think, from like 94 or 95. This dude got into a booth and probably had to cut about 20 liners of like, DuckTales, 6:30, you know? And I'm all sure right. this is at the end of it. It's S, after all, right? Probably mm-hmm. at the end of the list. Here is the effort this dude gives.
A super show. It's awesome.
Super Mario, tomorrow at 7.
I want to recut the just the part, the Super Mario part, and put that at the beginning of every Super Mario game. So when it loads
Super
up,
Mario! Super Mario, tomorrow at 7.
Yep.
I love the fact that that dude got into a booth, right, and yeah. was tired, and probably his wife was divorcing him, and, like, it was just nothing. Just I imagine just a world of stress is on top of him. Maybe his boss is a jerk, and he's, like, hassling him for a raise, and he just doesn't want to be doing this, and he just gets in, and he's like, whatever, man. Like, it's not like I'm doing the Full House liner, and people in prime time are going to be hearing this. It's just a bunch of kids. They don't know what a broken man whose dreams have all betrayed him sounds like. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do here, and then we'll go from there. And then 25 years later, he's getting made fun of on the internet. That is America, baby.
I like that you invented a backstory for this guy, too. I wonder if it would even be possible to find out who that person is. Probably not. I mean, it's got to be a guy who works for, like, UPN or something.
I don't doubt it. I mean, like, we know what station it is. It's on 90s commercials. That's it's a 90s commercials compilation, volume one or part one. If you just YouTube that, I'm sure it would not be hard to find out who it was. Although I don't know what you would say to him once you found him. Like, hey, you really dogged on that liner, huh, bro?
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe the tadpole can take a peek into that. Of which there are many people. I am impressed and satisfied that so many folks in the tadpole showed up this morning. Lots of familiar faces in there.
Well, welcome everybody, and we hope we don't completely disappoint you. And listen, if you, because apparently Scott was saying this is going to be on the feed. If you're listening to this on the feed, and you do not follow Twitter, and maybe you hate Bill and really despise me on Tuesdays, uh-huh. you only listen awesome. To half the Tuesday episode because you are tired of my jibber jabber and Bill's fitness propaganda.
Maybe you're that guy on Twitter who thinks that me making fun of smokers is a jerk move.
Does that happen?
That happened once.
So, like, you were making fun of smokers and someone's like, hey, who's going to stick up for the smokers?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And he's probably listening now, too.
You want to pick a fight with him? I mean, like, it's not really in the Christmas spirit, but you want to just, like, drop, you know, just some real shots. Hashtag shots fired.
No, but I am saying, though, that it happens that some people are not down with fitness.
No, they actually secretly pine that they want to be on Tuesdays as the sloth geek.
Yes. Or unfortunately, like, though, that spot is already filled. And that's why I started my segment.
So, well, let's do a little bit of Christmas discussion here.
All right.
The ethics of opening Christmas presents early when you live far away from your family. This is something that you put into the doc, so you go ahead and set it up.
Okay. Well, I threw it in there. Now, you and I both live far away from where we grew up, right? Imagine far away from the people that raised us. The majority of the people who would be buying or sending you presents live far away, right?
Yeah.
So, and if they are, like my family, prudent, they will get them to you early.
Yeah.
So that you can open them on Christmas. But since I'm an adult with no one to tell me what to do, I can open them whenever I want, really. No one's going to stop me.
Well, I mean, aside from literally the entire concept of Christmas.
Right. Now, and I will tell you this. So my mom sent me a box full of goodies, including stockings, because I don't have a stocking. And she sent me my brother's and his wife's because she lives out here, too. So we have this box full of responsibility now. Like, I could even open my brother's presents if I wanted to.
I mean, but now, all right. Like, but your initial question was one of personal discipline, right?
Right. Yeah.
You not opening your brother's presents is really you borderline coming down off the mountain with your dog who has an antler tied to his head and ruining Christmas for others.
Yes. It's also a probably borderline mail fraud. I'm not sure about that.
It really is. Like, that's, you've crossed into a totally new discussion here, William.
Yes. Now, TVZ Gun in the chat is guessing that my wife Brittany would have stopped me. I will have you know that Brittany got a similar box from her family. She opened them. All right.
Open all her presents.
Out. Yeah. She opened them.
What kind of lawless, wild, wild west are you guys living in Seattle that you can't wait until Christmas?
I did not open mine. Mine are sitting there waiting. We will open those tomorrow or maybe even tonight. I think Christmas Eve is fair game.
I mean, yeah. Well, because part of Christmas morning that's really fun is, you know, because you have to, like, go to sleep as children. Right?
Right.
You know, like, that's like a thing that kids have to do is get on their sleep schedule.
And the gifts magically appear during the night.
Yeah.
And I have no way to recreate that.
None of that is real.
No.
Although, so, man, I'll tell you what, that would be something. I mean, like, not to say that Lady Logshanks, your wife, Brittany, could be any better than she is right now as a human, but man. That'd be pretty epic if she was like, yeah, no, all the presents came in from your family, and, like, she opened it but hid a couple, and then, like, in the middle of the night, like, one just appears under the tree, and you're like, where'd this one come from? It was Santa Bill.
And I'm just the kind of guy who would believe it. That's...
TBC Gone, Borderline Mail Fraud is my favorite country group. And there we go. We are continuing to roll with the TMS tropes. They are all here for you still on this Christmas bootleg edition. I don't have a problem waiting to open them. Although I am willing to side with you that opening on Christmas Eve is probably more legit than otherwise. Although I think I'll still probably wait till Christmas Day, just because I very much you know, I am of the tantric philosophy when it comes to Christmas. I believe that you should wait and extend it as long as you can, because it only comes but once a year.
That sounds pretty good.
Speaking of being away from where you are from, have you taken this New York Times dialect quiz?
I sure did, me and everyone else on the internet, for sure.
Man, it would have been really good if one of us didn't, and then did it live on the show.
Well, I have some things to call out about it. So if you don't know what we're talking about, if you just look up New York Times
dialect quiz. Yeah, NYT quiz. Dialect quiz. It's like what yous guys, what yiddens and y'all talk about on the internet or some crap like that. How y'all and yous guys talk.
Yeah, so it's a quiz, and it's 25 questions. You go through them all.
Yeah.
And in...
So I'm going to go through it real quick while you talk about it. What do you call the large wildcat native to the Americas? That's a panther, of course, like the Florida panther.
Now, as you answer the questions, it'll flash up a graphic of the United States, and the orange or red areas are more similar to your answer versus the blue areas, which are not. For example, if you click on... mountain lion, which I did not. I clicked on the other one. Or no, I clicked on mountain lion. I'm sorry. Yeah. You click on cougar.
How about this one? What do you call the insect that flies around in the summer and glows in the dark? Lightning bug, firefly. I use lightning bug and firefly interchangeable. Peony Wally?
Yeah. Some of the answers are way out there. And if you click on them, you'll see that it sends you, there'll be one yellow area in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So some of these answers are very, very,
I mean, that's a firefly, right? Yeah. Let's be fair. Oh, no, listen, this was one that I got the first time I did it. I did it on my phone, and it didn't really work so well on my phone. But look at this. What do you call it when the rain falls while the sun is shining?
Right.
A sun shower. The wolf is giving birth. The devil is beating his wife. Monkey's wedding. Fox's wedding. Pineapple rain. Liquid sun. Or I have no term or expression for this.
Yeah.
Hold up. Whoa. True or false, all of these except for sun shower were made up by the New York Times.
Well, that's the thing. You can click on them and see where it points you.
Yes.
But I like to think that a monkey
shower. Do you believe that I don't believe that anybody listens to or watches the sun shower and say, "Well, the devil's beating his wife."
I don't think
that happens, Bill.
Does anyone in the chat have an example of the raining? Like, I've never even heard of a term for when it's raining when the sun is out. Like, I've never known that there was any word for that. Does anyone in the chat?
Purple Rain was the canceled sequel to Princess Pineapple. Pineapple Rain was the canceled sequel to Princess Purple Rain. Yes, it was where Prince went to Hawaii. And so did Morris Day and The Time, and they had a real crazy time.
I like to think that somewhere
the wolf
in, like,
is giving birth. Who sent, like, for real? Mama, the wolf is giving birth again.
Somewhere in, like, deep Alabama, there's two counties. In one county, they're like, no, the fox is giving birth. And next door, in the county right next door, they're like, no, the monkey's giving birth.
Roll Tide, War Eagle. Like, yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. I refuse to believe that any. All right, so which one do you want to find out where it's from? Because we can only pick one to find out where the dialect
the devil
is from.
Let's go with the devil.
The devil is beating his wife. And I'll bet you that the heat map is literally one blood red pinprick in the middle of Manhattan where this author lives. That is the only place.
All right, where is it?
Okay, number one, no one says it except for you actually nailed it. It looks like it's like Louisiana and Alabama.
Sun shower. I'm just looking this up on Wikipedia.
The devil is beating his wife.
Yeah, the Wikipedia entry is for sun shower, and then there's a whole crap ton of lists referring to animals. In India, there's a lot of different ones. Let's see, the fox's wedding, the monkey's wedding. Yeah, apparently in India it's real popular.
By the way, who's the devil's wife?
I don't.
Is that even a thing in Christian? Architecture?
I have no
idea.
Does
the devil have a wife? Because who married the devil? He's the devil. And by the way, if the person who married, if the devil's wife was with him before he fell as an angel, right? Like, that is the ultimate stand by your man moment, right?
Yeah,
There is no. Like, Tammy Wynette, you take a back seat, sister, because the devil's wife, the long-suffering wife of the devil, imagine, like, she married an angel, and then he becomes the devil, and she's like, well, you know, I think he's just misunderstood.
Wow. So
that was Tammy
Wynette,
right? Stand by your
for
man.
You? Did they nail it for you?
Yeah. No. It got the top three cities. We're all in South Florida. It was like Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach, and somewhere else that were like, it was all, you could not have nailed it more specifically unless you got like the city that I grew up in, which was Davie.
Now, which area of the map is the most blue for you? Because for me, it's Texas and Louisiana.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it was the Midwest. Yeah. And now, I wound up getting, I guess one of the big differentiators is Devil's Night, which is like only said in Detroit, which I knew was only said in Detroit because I listened to Eminem records.
But you said that because you've seen the movie The Crow.
No.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, I knew it was that. I knew it was that from Eminem albums, but I didn't. Yeah.
What's interesting is that it's possible for a group of people not in a certain area because of some pop culture reference to start saying that kind of term, even though it's not from where they're from. You know, as Eminem got more popular, people are like, that's what they call that? And they can start saying it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. And one of the things, and you know, I would assume kind of a big differentiator for them is, of course, the like, you guys, yous, yins, y'all, that kind of stuff. And that, I think, is, I don't know. That's sort of fake. Like, because, I mean, I'll say, like, yins, I know, is a Pittsburgh, that's the Pittsburgh y'all, right?
Okay.
And, like, I have family in Pittsburgh. I will say yinz as the knowing that it's not my natural speech pattern, but I just like to say it because it's a fun word.
Yeah, it's fun. It's more than saying, hey, guys.
Yeah.
So for my answers, the Northeast is lit up like a Christmas tree, and which is, I'm from upstate New York. I'm from Oswego, New York. And the two cities up there they pointed out are Buffalo and Rochester, which are pretty on the nose for Oswego.
Yeah.
Right down 104 from Oswego. But the third city, Honolulu, Hawaii.
I'll tell you what. Mickey Haliki Moka is the thing they say on a Hawaiian Christmas, Bill.
Yeah, I guess so. Which I wouldn't mind being from Honolulu. It's a pretty nice place.
Yeah.
But the other
one's I've never been there. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Sure have. It's rad. It's paradise, and my cell phone and money still work there, so. Yeah. Because I've
always kind of, you know, it's fun, but it's funny because, like, West Coast people, like, Hawaii is to what kind of some of the Caribbean islands are for East Coast people, I feel like. Like, a lot, like, people are way more likely to, like, oh, honeymoon or go to the Bahamas and stuff like that. So I'm curious to get it. Now that I'm a West Coast person, I'm curious to get
it. Oh, do it. It's a lot cheaper to fly from over here. You can catch a good deal down there. And like I said, I've been to Fiji, which is also in the Pacific. And that's also paradise. But no one, well, they all speak English, but your money doesn't work there and your cell phone doesn't work there. And it is kind of a little bit more of a lawless, crazy place than Hawaii.
Yeah.
So just go to Hawaii. It's way cheaper.
Yeah, that's kind of like what Jamaica's like. Jamaica's fairly nice, but also please don't leave the resort. For God's sakes, don't leave the resort. all right. Do you use the word supper?
Interchangeably with dinner, like together.
What?
Yeah.
I always thought supper was something that died out.
I don't know.
Like you know, slavery. all right. Well,
it's
here, let's
ruled unconstitutional.
Let's go ahead and move on from this. You can go ahead and take the dialect quiz. New York Times dialect quiz. It's called How Y'all and Yous Guys Talk. What would come up normally next in the show is celebrity poop. However, I couldn't find the celebrity poop drop. Now, I know how hilarious that sounds. I asked for it on Twitter and nobody gave it to me because I think they assumed that I was asking for something really, really horrifying. So I don't have the sound. It's like the only sound I don't have. So I'm just going to go ahead and, in true Scott Johnson fashion, play a random sound off the board.
A super show. It's awesome.
Super Mario tomorrow at 7.
Let's go ahead and get in to celebrity poop.
And it's brought to you by the decency and humanity during the holidays. Scott served like 350 homeless people dinner last night, and I'm sure Brian did something nice too. The least we could do is wake up early and do this fake version of the show. To be decent during the holidays, just go ahead and be really nice all the time.
Charlie Sheen will not stand for a world in which he is paid the most attention. This is an injustice for which he will simply not abide, Bill.
That's true. Yeah, he found out that Mr. Duck Dynasty was getting all kinds of attention, and he needed to chime in.
And he said, what? This guy? People are yelling about him? I like to get yelled about.
Yeah.
I'm going to yell at him. So now, if he yells back at me, people will be like, what? Charlie Sheen, that's the name they should be saying instead of this Phil Robertson character. So he goes after the Duck Dynasty guy because, of course.
By the way, is that Charlie? Is that a picture? This is the dailymail.co.uk. And is that a picture of Charlie, or is that someone wearing a Charlie mask? Because you can almost even see the line around his face where it was glued on. Like, he's not looking so great.
I don't know if you've picked up on this, Bill. It doesn't seem as if Charlie Sheen has made the best life decisions.
No.
Whenever you hear the phrases porn stars and a suitcase of cocaine, you know that you are further along a road that many, many people would try to avoid. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he talks now this looks like a really, really weird letter or poem that he's written to Phil Robert So, which is, I don't know if he thinks that's what that guy's name is, but that's what he wrote. And it looks like he tried to make it in an iambic pentameter, because it's kind of, he hit the enter button whenever he really felt like when he was typing this thing out.
Can you read it like beat poetry?
Yeah. Hey, mallard-brained Phil Robert So, exclamation point. You have offended and hurt so many dear friends of mine who do not have the voice of their outreach that I do. Well, newsflash, shower dodger. It's actually pretty funny. I will speak loudly and clearly for all of them. So.
By the way, just, so is its own sentence.
It got a whole line.
So it's a, it is a one word, yeah, two letter sentence, SO. Go ahead.
Okay. Just when your desperately sub-evolved ass through the pressure was off, you are now in the crosshairs of a machine-style media. Machine, kind of like a machine gun, only with his last name. Beat down. Beat down got its own line. And then in parentheses, I'll try to keep the big words to a minimum as not to confuse you. I don't want to read the whole rest
of
this.
No, you should.
It would take a long
time.
You should.
Tell me whether or not I'm wrong for this.
All right.
This is the first time that I have felt true and real sympathy for Phil Robertson.
That's fair.
I mean, really? He has nothing. And by the way, because I was searching on TMZ for things to talk about on the show today.
Yeah.
And the two things that Charlie Sheen made the news for yesterday, and there were two of them, was this and publicly yelling at his ex-wife and calling her names because they are in a child custody over Christmas dispute.
Well, this is what I think happens with Charlie Sheen. So most of us might set up a Google alert to find out when, let's say, our webpage is mentioned on the internet.
Yeah.
I think that Charlie Sheen has a Google alert set up to find out when he is not mentioned on the internet. And when that happens, he just goes outside and starts yelling.
So right now, we are safe. He has gotten his Google alert with the evolving transcript of this, the bootleg Christmas edition of the Morning Stream, and says, okay, good. You guys are mentioned. Fine. Tick it off the box. Yep, one more down. Now let's wait, you know, let me troll a One Direction Tumblr to see if anybody mentions Charlie Sheen's name. And if they do not, I will throw in an angry comment about Harry Styles has dumb hair.
So I think it worked, though, because we're reading this article about Phil Robertson, but all we've done is talk about Charlie Sheen. So mission accomplished, Mr. Sheen. Mission accomplished.
Meanwhile, Discovery had its best ratings in 12 years. I mean, you can see the link here, but were you surprised by the kind of programming that led it to such great heights?
Well, I've never heard of the Skywire with Nick Wallenda.
It was a special. So the Wallenda family, of course, of the flying, the famous flying Wallendas. They are like famous high wire acrobat people. This dude like walked across the Grand Canyon. It was live. It was right around, I mean, 2013 in a lot of ways was the year of maybe he'll die. You know, we had like the guy from space falling to earth. And
we
had this dude and there was like a big gust of wind in the middle of him walking through the Grand Canyon. And we were like, what? I don't know, man. Maybe this guy's going to die right in front of us. And like, you know, Discovery's going to have a Faces of Death situation on their hands, but he didn't. And ratings galore.
Yeah. Now, Shark Week is always a really big deal for them and a big numbers thing for them. So that did not surprise me. Although I wonder how much of the Shark Week popularity this year came from the kind of controversy against the Megalodon show they put up. Because they put up that show and they're like, maybe Megalodon was real? And people and scientists around the world were like, you guys, that's all speculation.
It's like, oh, about that, no.
Yeah.
it wasn't.
And So I wonder how much of it was dragged in from that sort of controversy. But it says that they had 11 series that averaged more than 2 million viewers in 2013, which is, I guess, means that those, you know, the High Wire thing and Shark Week dragged people in for the rest of the shows, which was kind of cool.
I mean, you got to figure, though, because, like, their two biggest things, aside from this one-time special, because I don't think that Nick Melendez is just going to be walking across stuff. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that is the way to go, though. It's like, literally, pick 2 points. We're going to put a string there, and this dude's going to walk across it. You won't believe the kind of things that he's going to walk between. But the two things that they are most well-known for would be Shark Week, which is a yearly event, and Mythbusters, which is their biggest recurring series, both of which, and as was shown by the Megalodon thing, are a bit long in the tooth, right?
Right.
Like, you could say they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel with both, because at some point, I mean, Shark Week, they could literally replay exactly their programming from Shark Week 1998.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody would care. They just
even know.
Yeah. They would like Scott, I think, was mentioning yesterday, Scott and Brian were mentioning on yesterday's show that apparently there's like that Donald Duck special that is like a Christmas tradition in Sweden, despite the fact that it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Right.
They could definitely do like, it's like, oh, like, we all fondly remember 1998's Shark Week. Like, let's remember it here today because we don't want to program anything else.
And just play it all over again.
Play it all over again. We would love it because people just like the idea of saying it's Shark Week, of having an excuse to watch something. It's just a fun time for them.
Work on their Shark Week cosplays. I mean, that's what my family does. I don't know.
But do you think, I mean, like, so they're getting higher ratings the more they kind of just are like, hey, listen, any idea is a good idea when it comes to these two programs. Like, I don't know, how about a myth that you can separate your shadow from your body, like in Peter Pan? Nope, it's a myth. Boom!
So let's look at the other shows, the top five.
Yeah.
I've never watched... And well, no, I've seen some of Deadliest Catch, but we've got Naked and Afraid, which I've never even heard of.
Which I like to call the documentary I made for my first sexual experience.
What's playing an ad? There we go. Sorry. What was it? Sorry about that. Amish Mafia? Is that that's a thing? Because I've never seen that either.
No, see, eventually what happens... In reality television, all right, here's how reality television gets made. And this is not a joke.
Right.
Networks put out what are called no, they're not called log lines. They're like pitch points. That's what they're called. That basically say, we want shows that appeal to this audience and that reflect these themes. So let's say if it were fiction... We're looking for a crime procedural that appeals to 18 to 24-year-olds. Or for, like, Discovery, docudrama that appeals to 24 to 30-year-olds in rural setting. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, from there, production companies get those pitch points and then come up with ideas to pitch to the network. But what the network wants is something that they understand. So they want things that are on other networks, which is why, as you notice, on cable, if you're going through your cable guide, it's an alphabet word soup of all the names just jumbled up together, right?
Right.
So Breaking Amish, Mafia Wives, Amish Mafia. Like, this is literally how it happens. Is they walk into the pitch and say, you know, we all love Mafia Wives and Breaking Amish. Amish Mafia. Hello. There you go. Long Island Medium, something else. Long Island, something else. Like, this is how this whole process goes. So I have never seen it, but I'm sure it's great.
Yes. So anyway, the top five look like they are all reality TV programming, but they're all between 2 and 3 million viewers, which I guess that's what people want to watch.
But then again, I mean, that's Discovery was always known for reality programming, right?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, that's kind of it. The term reality gets stretched pretty thin.
Well, documentary something.
Yeah.
Doodly-doo.
That kind of was their thing, I guess.
All right, here's our final story. Former American Gladiator Nitro suffers a heart attack and blames steroids. I really only put this in there so I could write that American Gladiator suffers from a broken heart.
Now, what's interesting to me about this story is, now this guy was way into the whole being a buff dude in the early 90s and late 80s.
Yeah.
And what he points out was that, yes, steroids played a factor.
Sorry, go ahead.
But that back then, it wasn't, using steroids was not really so taboo. And in fact, if you do go back and look at bodybuilders, so for example, if you wanted to be a professional baseball player, right, you can't use steroids. That's a no-no.
Yeah.
But if you want to be an American Gladiator, all bets are off. There's no rules against any of that. If you wanted to be a professional wrestler, right? Like, because they're not actually competing, they're like, yeah, sure. We just need you to look good on TV. Roid up, boys.
Yeah.
So you may say, you may think, like, American Gladiators are using steroids. They're setting a bad example for our kids. It was very much an example of, everyone was doing it.
Well, yeah. Do you feel that this is... Do you feel worse? Number one here. Let's start here. Did you like American Gladiators when you were...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the best.
Loved it. I couldn't get enough.
Did you think, too, like, the thing where they shoot a tennis ball at you and you just kind of get out of the way? Don't you think, like, I could have done that? Like, the guy's getting tagged from a tennis ball...
Okay, but that was the whole point, right? Yeah. The point of the show was for men, young and old, and women, young and old, to watch the show and say, I think I'd be good at that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, I don't know if I could do all of it, but I could do some of them.
Right.
You know? Like,
compared to the American Ninja Warrior. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Oh, yeah, which is like crazy parkour. Yeah. And, like, those guys could actually kill the president.
Yeah, and when you watch that, you're like, oh, I can't do that.
No, yeah. No, but American Gladiator was like a weekend warrior enough, you know, that you could put it together and make it work.
Like, one of the events was a gladiator would, I can't remember if it was the gladiator or the competitor, would stand
89 to 96 that ran.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them would stand on a pedestal with a pillow. And the other person would swing down on a rope and try and knock them off. And I don't think there's a lot of nuance there. So it's just it's just one person crashing into another one. And I could totally do that. Especially if I took a bunch of steroids.
Nitro. So did you have a favorite American Gladiator?
I don't remember. No, you know what? I think it was Turbo. I had a friend growing up whose nickname was Turbo, so we were all Turbo fans.
Wait, his name was actually Turbo?
His nickname was Turbo.
Ah.
A friend. The story is my little brother, his name is David. His best buddy, his name was also David, and they both played on the same soccer team, so they each got nicknames.
Ah.
So that you would just yell David, and David Sorrento was Turbo.
DJ M in the chat room says Gemini. Of course, DJ.
Oh,
of course. I think my favorite activity is in that final gauntlet, the final obstacle course, when they ran through the doors. Like, you would always kind of feel like, if there's one thing I could do was pick the one door that didn't have the gladiator with like the tackling dummy on it.
That's got to be the worst surprise ever, too, because you're like, either I go through the door and there's nothing there and I win, or a 250-pound man will put me on the floor.
Oh, man. I always would, like, I wondered whether or not, like, the American Gladiators were kind of treated like, you know, like Russian ballet students, right? Where it's just like, you know, they were let out from, they all lived like, you know, six to an apartment, and they didn't get fed if they were embarrassed by the contestants or whatever. I imagine that they were far more of this like monk-like order than I'm sure that they really were. They were just, you know, bodybuilders in Santa Monica that just went back to their apartments and lived their lives.
Right.
After recording 9 episodes of American Gladiators in a day.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what the production schedule was like.
Although I'll bet you that was, I mean, that's whenever you saw Nitro get blown by in that hamster wheel competition, you probably knew that that was like episode 5 that they were shooting that day.
Guys, I am beat. Come on. Yeah. You're sending these fresh bodies after them.
Exactly. And the effort that he would make on that would sound quite a lot. Like,
awesome. Super Mario, tomorrow at 7.
American Gladiators.
American Gladiators. Get in the hamster wheel. All right. So we are going to do something a little bit different here. Normally, this is where Scott and Brian call Daryl Skeels the Trek nerd.
But Daryl told me last night that he would be asleep.
Yes. And again, this show is about giving everybody what they want. You got to give the people what they want. And that means Scott, Brian, and Daryl, they get themselves a little Christmas rest. And we get to do the show, which we would like to do. And you, the fans, get to listen to the show. So we're going to do something a little different. This is going to be called Stump a Star Wars Nerd.
The Star Wars Holiday Special. Starring Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker.
All right, we are going to be joined by Adam 12, Adam Pulowski. Let me go ahead and add him to the call.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Howdy. Good morning.
Adam, welcome. Welcome.
I come bearing Star Wars geek anniversaries.
All right, well, hold on.
Okay, all right.
We do that at the end.
All right.
Let's go ahead and get into your question here. Well, first, hold on. Tell everybody where they can find your work. You do great work with CDX.
Yeah, Collection DX. I do a weekly video show with a buddy of mine where we kind of highlight the news and reviews in Japanese toys and collectibles and sci-fi stuff. And there's more than a number of Star Wars things on the site, but we're all just a big bunch of giant toy nerds. So, yeah, we do that every week at CollectionDX.com.
Daryl has a huge Star Trek pedigree, does a Star Trek podcast. How would you, because right now, listen, I put the word out last night to do this, you know, this challenge, the Stump a Star Wars Nerd Challenge. It's they don't normally do it. They do Star Trek on this here show. We're taking it over for one day. We're going to make it Star Wars. A lot of people came at me. A lot of good people. Andrew Main came at me. He of Don't Trust Andrew Main, beginning January 13th on A&E. He came at me. I know, unfortunately, was unable to do it. Rob Krekel wanted to do it, and I picked you. So go ahead and let everybody know, what are your bona fides as a Star Wars nerd?
Oh, well, let's see. I was 5 when Star Wars came out, and I have been eating, breathing, and living Star Wars ever since then. Some of the Frog Pants folks might remember me from, I did a Star Wars podcast with Brian Brushwood, our mutual friend, for a little while there for Star Wars The Old Republic. Unfortunately, that crashed and burned, but clearly, I'm a big enough Star Wars fan that we threw in the effort for it. So,
Indeed. Lifelong fan.
Basically.
I think you could probably say that about that whole project for which you were covering as well.
Yeah.
True. Unfortunately.
All right. Here is my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
In the extended universe book, Heir to the Empire, what is the technology central to cloning? Is it A, the Kaminonan tube, B, the Tantus Matrix, C, the Sparti Cylinder, or D, the Genon Graph? Now, go ahead and talk this one through.
And meanwhile, we're going to eat something.
Except we're not. We didn't figure that out. We're not going to eat anything.
Yeah.
And also, I don't have the foodie hungry drop either. No. Two drops I didn't get. I didn't get that. I didn't get the other one.
That's it, Justin. You're fired. You're done after tonight.
I know. I'm out. One and done.
One and done. Let's see. Now, obviously, taking into account the new movies, my immediate answer wants to be the Camino tubes. However, the Heir to the Empire was written well before the prequels came along to retcon the Expanded Universe books. So I'm guessing it was the thingy matrix, whatever the matrix thingy was.
The Tantus matrix.
Yes. Although I'm fairly confident I'm wrong on this one.
Well, then why don't you pick something else?
Because they all sound like gibberish to me. I think you made them all up, Justin.
I made three of them up. That's for real. all right. So you say B, Tantus Matrix. Let's see if you are correct. No, it was C, the Sparty Cylinder.
Oh my goodness, Jesus! I haven't read that book since it came out. I don't think you have an unfair advantage. You just read them recently, you jerk.
I mean, about a year ago. Sure, yeah. I wrote the question though. Get off my butt.
Oh yeah. My goodness, I suck.
I consider myself a pretty staunch Star Wars nerd too, and I would not have gotten this one either. So kudos, all Justin. Right. You're a giant dork.
All right, so you have Star Wars anniversary news. What do we got today?
Most importantly, it was 32 years ago today, I got my first AT-AT toy.
Woo!
No, oh. Sorry. Sorry, guys. I actually couldn't find an anniversary for this day in particular other than like the 75,000th spinoff comic from Dark Horse Comics today.
Sure.
However, we had several birthdays around this holiday. So Samuel L. Jackson just turned 65 December 21st this past weekend.
I went to a Atlanta Falcons game a couple weeks ago in random happenstance. And they have all these Sam Jackson video clips because like their slogan is Rise Up. So they have Sam Jackson just doing his Sam Jackson, I'm yelling at you best, going like, Atlanta! You better rise up! but he was physically there. Sam Jackson was physically there. So they had this big fiery video thing of like, come on now, it's third down. You need to rise up. And then they cut to Sam Jackson in his suite sitting down. And I'm like, well, listen, if he's not getting up, then I'm not.
Very good. Very good.
Who else was born?
Go ahead.
No, who else was born?
Let's see. Hugh Quarshie turned 59. He was one and done in The Phantom Menace as Queen Amidala's security guard, Captain Panaka. And lastly, Temuera Morrison is 53 on December 26th. He of course, is Jango Fett and the voice of your retconned Boba Fett.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, one more plug. Where can people find you, Adam?
You know, you can find me on Twitter. I'm usually tweeting out, like, when we go live with our show or when the show goes out and all of that. So that's ATZeroMXII, Adam12 in Twitter speak, I guess you could say. So, yeah, check me out. I appreciate it.
All right, Adam.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for doing the Stump a Star Wars Nerd.
No problem. My pleasure. Everybody, have a great holiday. I just want to say, you know, enjoy yourselves however you celebrate it. And remember, it's really about the people you spend that day with, not the number of things that are under the tree. Thank you, guys.
False. Care. It's about Jesus. And
and you're
thank
fired.
You thank for you for continuing the war on Christmas. bye, Adam. Love you.
Bye.
Justin, you want to hear where my Star Wars cred comes from?
Where does your Star Wars cred come from?
My aunt was an assistant sound editor on The Empire Strikes Back.
What?
Yep. She, because all of the voice stuff when Vader was talking was dubbed over later.
Yeah.
They didn't do the actual lines when they were filming it because there was a pretty big, I don't know if you knew this, pretty big spoiler in the middle of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
considering the
So on set, they were reading different dialogue that they would then put in there because they didn't want word to get out on the spoiler.
Yes. So,
which, by the way, insane secrecy for a pre-internet world. Right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. So they were my aunt was editing the audio that for James Earl Jones's voiceover stuff, right? She was one of five people that heard the first time James Earl Jones said that Luke was his son.
Bill, Jesus.
Yeah. So she dropped
it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the spoiler alert, guys.
Spoiler alert.
Darth Vader is Luke's father.
The Allies in World War II.
She threw her headset off. She's like, did you guys hear this? It was because no one knew. They had like a handful of people that recorded it, and then she was editing it together. And Luke, I am your father. So that's where my Star Wars cred comes from. My aunt. And in fact, we have an R2-D2 cookie jar upstairs that she gave me that she got from one George Lucas. So,
well, look at that. I'll tell you what. That was good to know. And this is the news.
That's right.
It's the news!
Brought to you by Andrew Allen's new Christmas album, Music for the Holidays, available right now at CovervilleRecords.com. All of the jazz music you've heard and will hear in this episode was performed on this album. Go get it now!
I listened to all these last night. They were really dope.
Yeah.
Like, Andrew Allen is extraordinarily talented.
Yeah, way too talented for the likes of us.
My favorite Christmas album of all time is Vince Guaraldi's Peanuts Christmas album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like having your own, like, private Vince Guaraldi when you know Andrew Allen. You can just ask him for jazz versions of things, and he just gets them to you, like, immediately. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a wizard, for sure. He has convened with the Dark Master.
Indeed he has. Which is, of course, the reason for the season. Pioneer sets fire to church. The hell happened here, Bill?
So, first of all, my favorite news website is FARC.com, and they have a Florida tag.
I'm sorry. If you want information on Y2K and all the news about whether or not George W. Bush won the election.
Yeah. And they have a Florida tag, so you can just go there and look up stories about Florida, which is exactly what I did for this story. Homeless church arson. The suspect was once a space pioneer, or is quoted
space
here.
Space pioneer sounds like a dubious title, for the record.
Yeah, visionary entrepreneur, once considered a commercial space pioneer, is accused of setting fire to a church. Who was the dude? Let me read this thing here. Premate? Sorry. Drazen Premate. That's his name.
Okay.
57, started a fire at the H2O Church on West Livingston Street. You'd think a church called H2O Church could probably put that out, but no.
Oh, come on now.
He set fire to the church because he was tired of the mosquitoes. Now, this reminded me of when the
when something bat-esque crazy happened? What does this remind you of?
No, remember when the astronaut lady drove like Texas to Florida to beat someone up and put on diapers so she wouldn't have to stop?
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. I think it's just a case of people getting the space madness, really.
Number one, space pioneer sounds like someone's wearing a coonskin hat.
That's true.
Number two, there is a very thin line in life between the dedication you need to do the impossible and conquer the final frontier and burning down a church because you're tired of the mosquitoes. And I feel like we all need to understand that even the productive crazy, still crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You're still dealing with crazy people. Like, listen, no one's a bigger fan of Elon Musk than I am, right?
Right.
We talk about him on the Weird Things podcast all the time in hushed, reverent terms. Let's not forget that the man who is currently developing rockets for SpaceX that could revolutionize how cheaply we get to space and therefore set the pave the way for colonization and, if nothing else, the survival of the human race as a non-Earthbound species, wanted initially to have SpaceX be something where he would put a greenhouse on Mars along with a webcam so people could see plants grow on Mars. That was his initial plan. And it was in the planning for doing that that he realized that sending rockets was really inefficient and realized that if he wanted to do that, he had to figure out how to put rockets up into orbit cheaper.
So what you're saying is when Elon Musk burns down a church because of the mosquitoes, we shouldn't be surprised.
I'm saying Elon Musk got high and then SpaceX happened. That's what I'm saying. And I'm all saying right. That space pioneer who, you know, got on his covered wagon and wanted to colonize the stars when in a westward ho fashion is also a bit of a crazy pants.
Alrighty. Well, the next thing we've got on the list here is about the man who invented the AK-47. What's his first name? Malachi? Not Malachi. It's Mikhail Kalashnikov is dead at 94.
AK-47.
Yeah, the man who invented it. Which, what's ironic is that he died a peaceful death. He did not get shot up by one of his inventions.
No, you know, I wonder, why did the AK-47 become such a famous weapon? Like, there's a million other guns, right?
There are, but the thing about the AK-47 is that it will not break. It's got, like, three moving parts. Its replacement parts are easy and cheap to come by. The ammunition is cheap to come by. You could throw it in the water. You can smash it on a rock. It will still shoot. It's just stupid, reliable, and cheap. That's why everyone loves it.
And we salute you, Mikhail Kalashnikov.
Mr. Kalashnikov, yes. So, I don't see... They never say how people die in an article. I guess it's...
I mean, I don't know. It's probably something boring pneumonia or something like that, you know.
But this is a person who, for good or bad, definitely changed the face of the planet.
Sure. Did he do anything else? Was it just... Was that, like, his life's work? Was he...
I don't know.
Was he, one day I will invent gun that is better than all other guns?
Well, he invented it a long time ago. I wonder if he just lived high on the hog from that for, like, the last 50 years.
You gotta figure, like, even post-Soviet, right? Like, he's gotta be a pretty awesome dude.
It's like that...
When Mikhail Kalashnikov rolls up in the club...
Yeah.
People are parting ways, man.
Makes me wonder if he's like the child star of the firearm industry.
Oh, you think? I mean, did he do it young? Did he do it at like 12? Was he the Justin Bieber of guns?
That would be amazing if he invented it when he was 20 and then just sort of rolled around with his entourage.
Yeah, I do not know if you've heard of me. I'm Mikhail Kalashnikov. I invented this at 20.
Yeah.
But then that means he probably had a bunch of other crappier guns that he came out with and was never able to... never able to do it better.
Or maybe
he looks like quite a sharp gentleman. He looked in his younger days. He looked cut a figure quite similar to Christian Slater.
I wouldn't put it past him. I bet he got pretty good amount of play for, you know, a guy, a merchant of death.
Sure. And look, if you go to the page, it's a real cute picture of him playing with his dog. It's adorable.
Nice. 1946 is when it was designed. 46 to 48. So he would have been in his 30s when he did that.
Nice. That's a good age to do it. You can handle that kind of Soviet fame.
Yeah. It didn't come out when he was 18, and, you know, then you get into drugs and then you start rolling with the wrong crowd.
Yeah. You know? He did invent it after World War II, though. Nice timing, buddy. all right, woman has her ears cut off to look like an elf. We're going to end the news on a bit of a holiday note.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if this is a holiday elf, but as a cosplayer, this one definitely appealed to me. Now, this woman, you might think she's crazy because she had her ears surgically altered to look like an elf. Or you might think she's crazy because she thought that she was a fairy in a past life.
Okay.
One thing's for sure, though, she might be a little crazy.
Yes. That's actually true. Wow. So yeah, they have like the surgery photos.
Yeah. There's a video too. I'll tell you, I am halfway between thinking she's bonkers and a little bit like impressed by her commitment to the part.
Melinda Moon, 23, believes she comes from a different realm and was a fairy in her past life. She paid £250 for the operation she feels will put her back in touch with her mythical side. So what, that's about $500 US?
Yeah, that's a bargain right
there. Yeah, no, I am paying more than $500 to do a permanent alteration to my head.
Wow, yeah.
That is a Dr. Nick price right there, £250 to screw with my ears permanently. Fun fact, I actually knew somebody who had done this before.
Really? Elf ears.
Elf ears. Is there anybody, and I know that the Frog Pants audience has a large Midwest fan base. If you have been to Branson, Missouri, entertainment capital, Midwest, and you see the Kirby Van Burch show, he's a magician, go ahead and take a gander at that man's ears. He has elven ears.
Wow. I'll tell you what, I roll with a lot of people who dress up in costumes all the time, and I don't know any of them that have done any sort of permanent alteration to their bodies. Now, part of that might be because we pick different costumes every year, and you don't just want to commit.
Yeah.
But also part of it is I'm pretty sure most of my friends aren't out of their minds.
But you would say, all right, but if you had one friend who just like looked a lot, like let's say Orlando Bloom or one of the other elven chicks from Lord of the Rings, was really, really into Lord of the Rings. Like, and I don't want to say that this is necessarily somebody who's crazy, right? I think this lady is crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a crazy thing to want to do, or any crazier to me necessarily than getting a tattoo.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think she might probably get more guff from the believing she used to be a fairy aspect of this story.
No. And if she wants to be a fairy, then
yeah,
then get it how you live it, girl.
Good on her.
You're loud, you're proud, you're a fairy. Good for you. All right. Bill, we have a song here. Who are we going to listen to?
This song is from a friend of the show, Mr. Blake Alund, and his own... He had an old band called Classy San Diego, and it's a ska band, and I'm biased because I love ska, so we're going to listen to that.
We are going to be joined after the break by Tom Merritt, and then possibly Brian Brushwood, possibly Rob Krekel. We will find out after this.
Try not to miss me when your world turns to a ghost town. Try not to think about the bridges that you burned down. Well, you can try and you can try with all your might, but you'll never get it right. Time. Try not to think about the life that is mine. I know you'll hate me.
thing you know, they're in the middle of the desert with the ice cream truck. I'm like, they get out, they're just like, what the hey? Let's paint the truck. You know what I mean? I got the finger paints. Let's go for it. So one guy's painting the truck. The other guy comes up. That's a good paint job. He goes, but it would be even better if I painted your face. You know, so they're putting paint all over each other. They're crazy. The ice cream probably melted. They didn't care. They were having a great time singing and dancing with the ice cream and the paint.
Hey, boys. Look what I got here.
The Morning Stream, desperately working off a pile of parking lot tacos since 2011.
All right. Now, that is the rejoin that I had to take, I stole off another episode. However, Mr. Scott Fletcher himself, the voice of all the Morning Streams announcing, is listening to the show and sent us, me and you, Bill, our own announcing. Right? And now I already had this board set, so I couldn't do any kind of on-the-fly stuff, and I don't have clean tracks that I can play them over. But let's go ahead real quick and go through some of the stuff that he has sent us here.
The Morning Stream. It's like this show that you're listening to right now, but better.
There we go. See? That's a good one. Here's another.
The Morning Stream. Justin Robert Young will not stand for a world in which he does not get the most attention. And Bill Duran.
Fair point. Very, very fair point. If I'm going to be slinging arrows, let ye who has not sinned cast the first stone.
And
here we go, the final one.
The Morning Stream, or a reasonable facsimile thereof.
And I don't think that this facsimile is anywhere near reasonable at all, to be totally honest with you.
Although stumbling over the soundboard during the transition did make it pretty authentic.
Indeed. Indeed. I tried to do my best. All right, let's go ahead and see if we can add one Tom Merritt here. And I told him, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we're going to figure it out.
We know what we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about tech.
No.
Enough of that.
No, it's baloney. Well, mostly because it's Christmas weekend, no one's making any.
Okay, here we go. I think Tom is here.
Oh, hello.
Tom Merritt, welcome to this, the holiday knockoff edition of the Morning Stream.
Dude, it was hard to find this Morning Stream. I had to head down to Canal Street, and then I had to talk to a hobo, and then they sent me into the back room of some bar, and here I am.
There we go. It is the Parda of of retail goods. There's a guy who doesn't speak English, and he swears it's just like real, just like real, just like real.
The stream, but the cops are coming. Quick.
Exactly. I know. Cash only.
$5.
We told you that you could talk about anything but tech. What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about tech.
Gosh, dang it. All right, fine. We can talk about tech.
No, I was going to say, what if I talk about tech history?
All right. Let's talk tech history.
Yeah? Will that work for you?
Yeah. I'm down.
I used to do a tech history podcast for a while, and I still do the posts on my website, and I've got the books and all that stuff.
But you can do it now. No man holding you down.
That's right. Today is the anniversary of the first NORAD Santa Claus.
Doesn't that always happen on? So it happens. Oh, it's happening now, right? Because
it's December 24th in the U.S. So they start tracking him when he's in the time zones where it's midnight and it's Christmas.
Now, wasn't this a mix-up with a telephone number where there was this number similar to the NORAD one and they started getting calls by accident? Isn't that how it started?
Exactly. It's so you don't need me. Great. Okay.
Hold on. No. Explain this. No. What happened?
No, you're absolutely right. After an advertising misprint, there was a department store in Colorado wanted children to call about Santa, and they posted – accidentally the number to the Continental Air Defense Command, which was one of the agencies that ended up becoming NORAD later. So this was in 1955.
Wow.
And so instead of just like, you know, getting mad at the misprint or the newspaper, Director of Operations Colonel Harry Shoup just said, you know what, check the radar for signs of Santa and tell the kids, you know, what you see. Wink, wink. And that's what started it. Just a operations colonel with a sense of, you know, wonder and mystery and holiday cheer.
So wait, so how did it start? Like, people called in and they were like, where's Santa? And they're like, I don't know, Abu Dhabi, shut up.
We're supposed to be calling a line, I think, that would have had a recorded message or maybe a staff, like, pretending to be the North Pole.
Oh, so it was like, at the sound of the tone, Santa's in Michigan.
Right, and they totally got Continental Air Defense Command instead. So, good on you, Air Force Colonel Harry Shoup, the commander on duty for, you know.
So, like,
let's give the kids a little fun.
I'm still fascinated at, like, so from the Air Force perspective, right, from NORAD, this evolved with technology, right? Like, I'm sure that, like, were they sending out bulletins to radio stations, and then eventually the internet came, and they're like, yeah, I don't know, just go to this website, and we're going to have a weird GIF.
It just sort of became a fun tradition. Now, that part of the story I don't know in detail, like, what next year, what caused them to go, like, well, let's do it again, why not? But, yeah, by the time NORAD was created in 1958, which was made of the Continental Air Defense Command, it had become a tracking tradition. And so when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys remember, you'd turn on the local news at like 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and they would show the radar map that they used for the weather, and they'd be like, we're getting this information from NORAD, and there he is now. And of course, now Google and Microsoft are battling over it. One of them's the official provider, and I think Google went off on their own, and they're like, well, we own the world, so we're going to track Santa on our own.
Screw exactly. They're going to build their own Santa with that Boston Dynamics robot company.
Yeah, well, it's a self-driving Santa, so we won't need reindeer.
Apparently, Santa has already delivered 1.5 million gifts. He was last seen over Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam, and he's heading for Hanoi.
Oh, jeez. So, by the way, not a very safe flight path, historically.
Yeah.
So we know Santa's going to emerge 20 years later.
You know, in 1968, the crew of Apollo 8 did a live televised Christmas Eve broadcast from space, by the way, in case you were wondering. They were the first crew to orbit the moon.
Probably a better space holiday special than the Star Wars.
Zing.
I don't know. I don't think they had any giving gifts or anything. You know, no Wookiees.
Mm-hmm. No Life Day?
No Life Day.
No Lumpy?
That's what I was casting around trying to remember. Yeah, so those are the two holiday-related things I have in my post at Tech History Today at TomErrett.com. But you want to know what the third one is?
Wait, is this off the board?
Oh, dude, you're gonna love. This is gonna really put you in the holiday spirit.
All right,
you're gonna put on your Santa hat, knock back some eggnog. Well, you already got your Santa hat on, but you know, you're just. It's gonna put you over the top. HTML 4.01 was published on this day in 1999.
Ooh. Man, tell you what, where you know the way we were, right?
Well, and it's still the standard.
Yeah, because HTML5 is still.
HTML5 is ratified, but not accepted as the standard yet.
Man,
was that when they added blink tags? That was always my favorite.
Oh, blink. Actually, I think it's when they deprecated blink tags.
So that was, I mean, like HTML4, like that's a big decade though for that.
Yeah, it's been the standard forever. That's why HTML5. Some people are like, why is everybody talking about HTML5? And they think, oh, it's just a Flash replacement. It's actually a big deal because
it's a huge deal. Yeah. So then what? So 99, that puts it right at the first the first .com bubble burst.
Right before, December of 99. I had been working at ZDTV for 3 months, so I think I got a good year in before the burst really started to happen. Makes it around the time that Napster really got popular too.
Man, that was because I remember. I forget where I read it, but there was an article about AOL in those days, and it was specifically 99 at the Super Bowl. It was like this huge coming out party for them, like, as I think it was right around when they had completed the sale to Time Warner.
Yeah.
And they were just it was like Steve Case, like, doing lines of blow, like, you know, off the hood of a Corvette in Tampa or whatever the Super Bowl was. Like, it was just an absolutely ridiculous nonsense. And then, you know, I'm sure they were high-fiving over HTML4.
Well, in the summer of 2000, the sports-related dot-com memory that I have is of Pac Bell Park opening up in San Francisco, and every single advertisement was a dot-com. Like, the cup holders all said Webvan on them, and had a big placard up on the scoreboard, and, you know, just, it was nuts.
Wow. Those two companies, such hilariously bad ideas.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think, I mean, Cosmo, arguably a really horrible idea, the way they did
it. Well, here, explain those for anybody who doesn't know.
Sure, sure. For Tiny Robot Studios. No, he probably knows. She probably knows. What do I know? No, Cosmo had people on bikes who would deliver you anything you wanted. So you could rent movies, you could buy movies, you could buy food. They would bring you sandwiches. Or like convenience store items, like I got Listerine. I think my favorite Cosmo delivery I ever had when I lived in San Francisco was a copy of Star Wars Episode I on VHS, an issue of Scientific American, a pastrami sandwich, and a bottle of Listerine.
That's everything you need right there.
That was my evening in.
But the problem was they just had a bunch of people who wanted cigarettes, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it was all over the place. Like, what am I supposed to get from these people? And, you know, it was really expensive to, you know, oh, we'll just put all these people on bikes. It's like, well, yeah, but you got to pay. That's a lot of people. And if you actually had people in trucks, you might be a little more efficient. So, you know, we get all these delivery services now, and you got Amazon talking about drones and everything. But really, nobody's really cracked the way of doing that yet.
I mean, yeah, we can joke about the fact that it failed, but, like, you're right. Nobody has gotten it right a decade and change hence.
Now, Webvan was a grocery delivery. They had a little more focus, but their problem was they decided to keep all the groceries in a big warehouse, and it ended up, again, being way too costly. And you know who's been able to make grocery delivery work? Freaking grocery stores.
Yeah.
Because you know what they have? A place for groceries that pays for itself.
Exactly. And a fresh pipeline for produce that they can just throw in a van and deliver to you and not keep in some seedy warehouse where a strange man is fingering it longingly. It is amazing to look at the graveyard of ideas that were at the time written up as, like, the future. Because when you think about it, Cosmo and Webvan, they do seem, especially in 99, it was like the smack your head obvious future. Of course this is going to be how we do things.
Yeah. And then those ideas get resurrected, though, too. When you think about, like, Amazon Fresh and all that, like, people keep taking a crack at it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like, you have to solve the key underlying issue. It's like, Amazon is Amazon, not because they decided, hey, books on the internet, let's sell them. Yeah. It's because they realized that the pipeline for which to get everybody these things as fast and reliable as possible is something unique that they did in terms of the storage houses and the idea of putting their gigantic facilities next to, like, the FedEx hubs and stuff like that. Like, they did a lot of really, really, really smart behind-the-scenes things that have made Amazon Amazon. It wasn't just selling things on the internet.
Yeah, well, and think about it. If you go back and look at the stories, Amazon, Bezos says Amazon was always meant to be more than books. That's why he called it Amazon, not booksonline.com. And Reed Hastings had the same thing with Netflix. His original idea was to do internet videos, but at the time they're like, you just can't do that. There's not bandwidth. There's not rights. And he's like, well, okay, let's start with DVDs, and we'll have people sign up online and manage their queues online. But he always had a bigger vision of what he wanted to do. And those companies are the ones that do seem to survive better, because they know where they're going, and they focus on how to get there instead of the end product, which is, you know, Flues and Cosmo and dot-com.
Yeah.
And baloney like that.
Oh, Reed.
Oh, baloney. Is there anything you can't make better?
You got any big Christmas plans with you and the missus?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's actually going to be nice. We're just going to we've saved all our Christmas presents, which sounds like, well, of course you did, Tom. But usually we're pretty horrible and we start opening them like on the 22nd or the 23rd.
We had this conversation earlier.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm the only one who saves Christmas presents. Everybody else is like, I'm an adult. I open them when I want.
I'm with Justin this year. We have not touched a one of them yet.
Well, then.
Yeah. No, if Ashley thought about getting up into some of these presents, I would give her a stern prison guard stare.
Well, you know why? When I was a kid, we would open the presents from Santa and the immediate family, mom, dad, my sister, brother, on Christmas Day. Christmas Eve is when the grandparents would all come over and we'd have like a Christmas Eve dinner and we'd open presents from them and any other family that happened to be in town. And then leading up to that, any presents that got mailed to us by aunts and uncles, we were allowed to open one a day. So they kind of trained us.
Mm-hmm. So it was like an advent calendar of sorts.
Yeah, kind of.
What's high on your wish list this year, Tom? What are you looking for?
I'm not high, Bill. I'm not sure where you're getting that information. I'm not... Well, oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. You know, I'm really horrible. I'm really horrible for that kind of thing. Do you guys make Christmas lists? I mean, I go to Amazon and I make a wish list of stuff that I'm like, I'd kind of like to have that, but I really shouldn't spend the money. And then I just send people there. But it's a bunch of... a bunch of crap, you know, because if I really needed it, I'd buy it for myself. I
guess. Exactly.
I'm apparently very easy to shop for. I had a situation this year where the Go Game got me a present and told me about it. It was tickets to the Sharks Penguins game in March.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I told Ashley about it a couple weeks ago, and her face dropped as if I had just given her a death sentence.
Oh no.
And she was like, well, then I just spent a bunch of money on hockey tickets that we're not going to use.
The same game?
Same game.
Oh, wow.
Well, because the Penguins don't come that often.
They play because they're in the other conference. They only play, it's a home and away. The teams play twice.
Right.
And so, yeah. So I wound up having to give back the Go Game once. And when I was talking to Ian, who works at the Go Game, he's like, well, this is just because you are way too easy to shop for.
Yeah, everybody knows.
So there we go. Just in case you ever want to get me something, tickets to a sports game. Really, well, any I guess sports I won't game. Be I like going to watch sports.
Sending you your present.
all right, Tom. Is there anything do you have coming up? Last episode of TNT is coming up, right?
Yeah. Well, the best of is in the feed today. If you want to like relive the past year, Jason Howell did. His usual amazing job editing all that together.
In what is an unusually poignant review of the days gone by, right?
Let's not dwell, shall we? Let's celebrate.
No, but indeed. Yeah, but just a lot of changes. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Tech News Today. I'm sure a lot of people listening are that listen to you on the morning stream. It's going to be a different show with you gone and with Ayaz gone. So if you want to remember the way we were, then download the best of.
Yeah, definitely download the best of. And then, yeah, December 30th is our year in review. We'll be talking about the biggest stories of the year. And that'll be my last show as host of Tech News Today.
All right. Well, now everybody, go ahead and check that out. But meanwhile, focusing on the bright and shiny new future, Court Killers did its first beta yesterday, right?
Yeah. I think it went really well, especially for a beta. I think it went great. So check that out at cordkillers.com. And don't forget, Frog Pants fans, about Current Geek.
When does that start?
Current Geek. That's going to be starting January 3rd, the Friday. Veronica Belmont and Mark the Terpster Turpin, the newly married Mark the Terpster Turpin.
Not to Veronica, though.
Well, not that we know of. No, I married Veronica to Ryan, so if she's married to Terpster, too, we're going to have legal issues. But, they're going to join us, and we're going to talk about the cool, geeky stuff that everybody loves to talk about that's in the news, in the headlines that week, and have a great time doing it. And the chat room will be there, and the Tadpool will be involved, and we'll take calls, and it's going to be awesome. So if you haven't yet subscribed, go subscribe, please.
Yeah, do it.
Christmas. This is your Christmas gift to me.
Indeed. And I'll tell you what, there might be another holiday surprise for everybody. Maybe a new, I heard rumors, a new FSL, maybe?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Justin, there's that Maui Invitational that happens every year on the holidays.
Yeah, of course.
So,
yeah.
I mean, really should be covering that, I think.
I think we're going. Yeah, it was. There was a question on whether or not the network of Dragon Sports Talk Radio was going to send us. It looks like we're definitely going down there, so keep an eye on your FSL Tonight feed for coverage of the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of an open tournament. You know, it's a storied committee, different teams involved every year. It's always fun, always an amazing time of competition and odds in people's favor. So you got to you got to keep an eye out for that. And I don't mean to overplug, but we just published Tech History January with Scott's illustrations. So if you search around on Kindle, it's there.
Nice. Well, go ahead and pick that up. Because as you noted on Twitter, ebooks, the gift that will not be delayed in mailing transit.
That's right. It's actually like Go Home Santa or Tech History January. Great idea if you're like, hold on a minute. I forgot to get a gift for my nephew and crap. Okay. Boom. Done. You're in.
Tom, thank you so much for being a part of this completely ridiculous bootleg edition of the show. We will talk to you later.
Hey, thanks, man. This is fun. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Thomas.
Tom. See ya.
There he goes. All right. Now,
yes.
Let me bring y'all into my world for a second. We're going to go ahead and open up the kimono and let you see what has been happening in my world.
Open the kimono a real term?
I believe so.
Okay.
Or if it's not, then I really have something to bring up with the last person I knew who had a kimono. when I did the Chord Killers beta yesterday, I asked Brian and Tom whether or not they would like to be on our bootleg edition of TMS. Tom and Brian both said yes. Brian, who I do NSFW show with, and I talk to on a near daily basis, has not responded to any of my calls or texts since.
Oh, no.
I know he's been up. I know he's been tweeting. He's tweeted 4 or 5 times since I've sent him the text and the phone calls. He has not gotten back to me. However, we do have somebody that will step in and is certainly of enough geek cred. That is... Rob Krekel, although I just realized I don't have Rob Krekel's Skype.
Oh, no.
Alright, so I need Rob Krekel in Skype to go ahead and give me his name. I'm sure it's probably very simple. I'm sure it's probably just his name on Skype. In fact, let's go ahead and just search.
In the meantime, I can talk a little bit about what's going on in my life.
Go.
If that's cool.
For God's sakes, go.
Oh my goodness. So my I make props and costume pieces for a living, and my wife also does that, though not for a living. But recently she made a mask from a video game called Skyrim that is a dragon priest mask. And she made a mold of it, which means we can make copies of this mask. And we're doing exactly that. We're doing a limited run of blank plastic resin kits of the mask. And you can get them now for about the next week. You can order one from me at punishedprops.com. It's a sort of thing that you will get and paint and finish yourself. So it's a really kind of cool, fun way to dip your toe into the prop and costume making world without having to do all of the work. Just the fun part where you get to paint it, make it look all shiny. So, again, that's punishedprops.com. You can go get your own Dragon Priest mask, paint it to look the way you want it, and keep it forever.
All right.
America's number one, and we're here to stay. Top of the pile, a goddamn humdinger. Blue ribbon, gold cup, giant foam finger.
Number Rob Krekel, are you there?
Hell yeah, we're number one.
No.
Oh,
Rob. It says you're on. Rob. All right. This is fun. This must be like, this is really, the morning stream's Christmas present to me is me trying to talk to somebody whose Skype connection is not working.
I'm here. What's up?
Rob!
All right.
Woohoo! Man, you think you were some kind of sound engineer.
Yeah, well.
Rob Kregel, for anybody who doesn't know, works on some of the top titles. And really, I'll tell you what, how many titles that you worked on in 2013 made a lot of those big top 10 lists?
Just the one, because The Last of Us took pretty much most of my life away. But yeah, that one's on most of the top 10 lists.
I guess Uncharted was the year before then, right?
Yeah. It's pretty surprising. Everyone kind of thought GTA 5 was going to run away with the Game of the Years, but we've won a handful, so that's pretty cool.
Well, and it has been certainly well deserved, and you know, the reviews on it are absolutely insane. Can you say what you're working on now? Is that public?
We're working on DLC for The Last of Us, so some single player extra content.
All right.
Cool.
Well, we're here. This is the we're bringing a strong close to the bootleg edition of the morning stream. You wanted to get in on the Star Wars competition, right?
I did.
Did you listen to it?
In fact, I wasn't sure if it was video or not. I'm wearing an amazing Star Wars Christmas shirt right now.
It's not video. So do me a favor, everybody, go ahead and follow. Rob, what's your Twitter? Tweet a picture of your T-shirt so everybody can go ahead and see it.
It's at Rob Kregel, and I will tweet a picture of it. I actually did, but I'll tweet another one.
Did you listen to the Star Wars question?
I didn't know there was a prerequisite.
Then you want to know what? You wanted to be a part of it. We're going to go ahead and cue it all up again. Here we go. This is Stump a Star Wars Nerd Part 2. The Star Wars Nerd Question Strikes Back.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
All right, Rob Kregel, we have the following question for you. In the Extended Universe book, Heir to the Empire, what is the technology central to cloning? Is it A, the Kaminoan tube, B, the Tantus Matrix, C, the Spa-Arty Cylinder, or D, the Genon Graph?
Oh, God, I haven't read Heir of the Empire since I was, like, 16. What was B again?
The Tantus Matrix. We had A, the Kaminoan tube, C, the Spa-Arty Cylinder, or D, the Genon Graph?
I think it's B, but I have no idea.
B, the Tantus Matrix. Let's go ahead and see whether or not you're right. Judges! What? It is not. You and our other Star Wars guest did not get it. Although you got the same thing, and to be fair, that is Tantus is Mount Tantus, which is central to that story. So you did select the Heir to the Empire appropriate term, just not the correct answer.
Well, that makes me sort of feel better. Sort of.
Should it?
I think this is all a play for Justin to step in and just dominate his Star Wars trivia over everyone
who
shows up.
I know what a Spa-Arty cylinder is. That's what we like to call this segment. I know a thing from another thing.
And you don't.
Rob, what's on your big Christmas list this year? Do you know what you're getting?
Yeah, actually, all right.
Aside from
unlike
a baby?
You, we didn't wait for Christmas, so I got a new yoga mat, which is not that exciting.
You do yoga?
Oh.
Yeah, I do.
How long have you been doing?
Rob's been dropping weight like a crazy person.
Thanks to yoga?
Well, partially. P90X mostly, and there's yoga in that.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, I just tried to, you know, at the Go Game, they've been doing this yoga thing lately, and I was in for one. That is way more of a workout than I thought.
Sure is.
I thought it was going to be a lot of, like, stretching, and it certainly is a lot of stretching, but there's certainly a point in which I looked over to my left and to my right, and there were, like, girls that could not weigh more than 100 pounds, and they were doing things with their arms and legs that I was like, man, I want to quit doing this because this is starting to get exhausting.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, it'll make you sweat. It's pretty tough.
No, definitely. It is. It is fairly crazy. So you got the big the yoga mat, and you guys already. So again, this is this thing. Nobody can keep their presents in their pants for 5 seconds. Everyone's got to be opening their presents immediately.
Well, we sort of have special circumstances. Normally we would wait, but like we had to go home for Christmas early in December because Jen's pregnant.
Yeah,
and so we couldn't fly for normal Christmas time. So we exchanged gifts with everybody then. So.
So wait, when is the baby due? Is it going to be like baby Jesus?
Not quite. No, it's the end of February, early March. We're looking at like February 28th to March 6th, somewhere in there.
Man, tell you what, that's a good time of year to be born. March 5th for me.
Ooh, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll try to match that, Justin.
I'll tell you what, now all of a sudden, all I can think of is that you guys and my parents did it at the same time. That's a weird thought. It's a very weird thought. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Rob, if you had one Christmas wish for everybody listening to follow, maybe a little a lesson from the year gone by, something you would like to see either in video games or life, what would you say?
Well, really, I would love everyone to follow Cord Killers because my friends Tom and Brian are making an amazing new show. No, but seriously, all these streams on the Frog Pants Network and I guess refugees of the Twit Network are worthy of following. And I really hope that they take off because I love these people and I really like following. That's what I wish.
There we go. Well, a selfless wish from
that's
you
so nice.
On this holiday season, Mr. Rob Kreckle. The best to you and your wife and your soon-to-be newborn child. Stay away from any inns. Spoiler alert, they're full. And thank you so much for being a part of the show, Rob.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Same Christmas
to you, friend.
Bill, we made it.
Yeah.
There's really no way we can screw it up now unless you say the C word.
My lips are sealed.
Well, this has been the bootleg edition of the Morning Stream. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Bill, you got anything else you want to plug real quick?
You know what? I'll do another thing for Rob since he was so nice to drop in. He did the gunshot sound effects for the folks over at Film Riot.
Yeah.
They put together a bunch of different packs of sound effects for people to use in movies or their video games or whatever they want to do, and they are very, very reasonably priced, and I got my hands on some of those and they sound awesome. So if you folks need gunshot sound effects for some reason, definitely go
check
those out.
I'll tell you what, there's been times where I've done projects where like I'm certainly not going to go buy some top end, you know, gun sound effect thing. So you look around the stuff that's like reasonably priced or cheap or free. It is hot garbage.
It's
is like a duck farting underwater, and it's labeled M16. You know,
yeah.
These are definitely awesome. And again, Rob Kreckle, dude, did the sound on Game of the Year on The Last of Us. Like
he's a wizard.
He ain't no jive talking silly boy turkey. He is a man who knows what the hell a gun sounds like and is giving it to you at a reasonable price.
Yep. Other than that, I'm going to be doing tons and tons and tons more prop and costume making video content over on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/punishedprops. So please go subscribe and check out all my shenanigans over there.
Do you have any big Christmas wish?
I get to spend my Christmas with my brother and his wife, so with actual family, which is kind of cool. So I hope that other people who don't normally get to hang out with their loved ones during Christmas also get to do so on this, the most, happiest time of the year.
Indeed. I would like to thank Scott and Brian for allowing us to rummage through their closet and put on their clothes and dance around as if we were important people. I would like to thank everybody who decided to listen. I would even like to thank the people that listened through the first 5 minutes realized that this was going to be a Horse Apples off-brand version of the show and turned it off. thank you so much for even giving it that much of a chance. The Morning Stream is a shining delight in my week, and it is so much because of not only Scott and Brian and everybody at Frog Pants Proper, but also the fans and the Tadpool that make it ever so special. I hope that the next year includes as much amazing content as the last one did, and if not, even more. If I could give you all one Christmas wish, it is to get to Nerdtacular next year, because that was, as this year draws to a close, some of my fondest memories came from that weekend. Thanks, everybody, so much. We're going to play one more Andrew Allen song. So if you want to go over to CovervilleRecords.com, you can pick up his Christmas album. It is super rad. If you got a big drive ahead of you, like I know a bunch of you do, then go ahead and pick it up for either the drive there or back. Thank you all so much. We will return you to your regularly scheduled morning stream programming at the beginning of next week. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Tomorrow at 7.